And welcome to Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week at the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Owen,
Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live! Woo!
Alrighty, welcome, ladies and gents. It is time for another episode of Gravel Talk. This episode is a weekend episode, and by that I mean normally our episodes do drop probably on Fridays, but we're actually like recording on the weekend, like we're all, you know, it's almost the weekend.
Well,
at least
technically this is your weekend. You're done with work already.
Done.
You're
I'm
on
off
your
Monday.
You're on your way to a barbecue. Nick, I feel very bad.
You're supposed to go to that barbecue.
I'm supposed to. We'll see if I actually get a chance to get there. You know, if I get a chance to get there, it'd be awesome.
I hear there's gonna be a bouncing house there.
A bounce house?
Yeah,
for adults.
Yeah,
you sure?
Maybe I'm just lying to get you to come. I don't know.
Oh, wow. That's a terrible excuse, Nick. You sound like so many of my ex-girlfriends
right
now.
Oh, gosh.
So the big thing, though, is like going to this barbecue, it is catching up on fantasy football because this is something that's huge.
Exactly what would happen if you go there. We'd probably just talk about fantasy football.
Talking fantasy football,
yeah.
Like the mock draft for the dynasty,
right.
Stuff like that. You know,
yep.
So there's a lot of that going on. But, you know, we're not here for that. We're here for Pro wrestling,
and that's what we're excited for. Jesse Von Raspberry to my left. I'm Nick Ragner. Wasn't here last week. Had some work stuff I had to get done, so you and AC Riley were able to bring on Nathan Gust and Showtime Championship Wrestling.
Showtime Championship Wrestling, yes.
If you haven't listened to that podcast yet, go back to last week's and listen to it. Showtime Championship Wrestling, I believe, was able to donate a couple of $1,000 to Eau Claire Special Olympics.
Great show.
So great guys out there. I know they're setting up another show here, I believe, in September. So we'll try to get somebody on from there to talk about this past show's success and then what they're going to be looking to do moving forward. Always great to, obviously, those new promotions popping up here in Wisconsin, especially in Eau Claire, because, you know, you see that as quite possibly a great place to start booking. But, yeah, you guys did a great job last week. But it's a new week. It's time for new content here on Grapple Talk. And, Jesse, last Friday you went to Brew City Championship Wrestling. I did not go. But I heard something extremely terrifying happened. Care to elaborate?
You know Lena, right?
I met her. Super nice girl. Yeah. She's like 17. She's still really
like
young. High schooler.
One of her first major matches was against Stacy Shadows. And it was actually a pretty good matchup until the end where Stacy goes for her finish, which is that Saito suplex, right? So
right.
It's a bridging side suplex. When she came down, Lena had tried to do something like, you know, that rock bump, right? So she threw up her hand behind her head to kind of like tuck in her chin. Somehow along the way, the whiplash effect sent her leg forward, and it hit her knee.
She kneed herself
in the
she
forehead.
She gave herself a Kinshasa.
In the forehead, and it was one of those things. It was kind of like instant, like knocked out. So 1, 2, 3, pin, match is over. Lena throws up her hands overhead. Referee calls for the X. Now this is where it gets really interesting, because like 9 times out of 10, if we see like some. Like a weird injury. I mean, we were there the night that, you know, the Prodigy got spiked on his head.
We were also there with,
like
Ruthie.
Ruthie as well.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of people are really concerned right away about broken necks.
Don't touch them. Right.
No one touched her for like a half hour.
She just sat there.
Just laid there. Locker room cleared out. Her mom was there. Her dad was there. Like, it was one of those really, really scary situations because, like, here's a gal who's like 17.
Right.
Whole life ahead of her. One of her big first wrestling matches, and there's that. That happens. And it's no one's fault at
right.
all. It's just one of those situations.
It happens.
Paramedics get called. Interesting situation because everyone's got different opinions of what should happen, all that stuff. But I haven't heard if she's doing well or not, but
I heard she's doing great, actually.
That's good.
Yeah.
That is good. Because I asked Sierra when we left, like, hey, get a hold of us. Tell us if she's all right or not. Didn't hear anything. Not putting her underneath the bus like that. But
dang it, Sierra, you millennial who's always on social media.
Yeah.
Send Jesse a Facebook message.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty easy, except when you want stuff, you know. That's just everyone else. Like, it's never like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
You know, like, shooting the shit. It's like, hey, man, when can I get this? But that's a different story altogether. But no, it's good that she's doing well.
I heard she was doing good.
Yeah.
I heard that, you know, she just kind of, I guess I can't exactly remember what happened, but I think it was something as not to take it lightly, but compared to it being paralyzed, it was something as little as, like, her body just contorted a weird way.
Yeah.
A little bit of muscle spasms, just, you know, kind of feeling a little, you know, tingling sensation in that leg. So I think, but yeah, I think she walked out of the hospital, if I'm not mistaken, that night or the morning after or something. So, I think she's doing good, I think, for the most part. So
yeah, because, like,
definitely good to hear that because, you know,
there's a lot of people that thought it could have been, like, a broken neck, you know, probably a concussion, a stinger, possibly, like a few other things that it could have been, and it's always a scary situation.
And that's always, you know, that's the greatest part about being young. You know, if you're 35 and you knee yourself in the head, most likely you are crippled.
Or you're very flexible.
Or you're very flexible, but man, that is, yeah, kneeing yourself in the face never usually probably ends well, but it's good that Lena, you know, from what I've heard, is doing well. And, you know, it's, you have to wonder, though. I mean, sometimes if you take a bump like that, you have a scary situation like that, you're only 17, I mean, does it hurt your psyche a little bit moving forward? Hopefully not. She seems like a very strong person. She's she was good when we saw her in lacrosse. So hopefully she's able to just kind of continue on doing her thing moving forward.
I think so. Every time we got a chance to talk to her, she's very upbeat and very positive about everything. And she'll be back in that ring, no doubt about it. Probably looking for redemption as well as the proverbial. Always,
she's going to make Stacy's shadows knee herself in the face.
Maybe probably not. No. But it'll make you think twice about how you take bumps and make sure that you're prepared for a situation like that. Because, like, she took a couple neck bumps earlier in the matchup, no problem on Germans for some apparent reason. It was just that bump caused, you know, a little grief and agony. But, you know, speaking of grief and agony, now, this is an interesting thing that happened over the weekend, Nick. You know, we got the double dip with the NXT.
We can't not talk about that. I mean, I know we're a few days late, but we cannot not talk about what happened this past weekend.
So we had the NXT. We had the Backlash. A huge weekend for WWE.
Oh, my gosh.
Huge weekend. Now, we gotta say something about WWE right now. It's like they're clicking on all cylinders when it comes to their international stuff. We saw the UK tournament. The UK Championship at NXT TakeOver stole the fucking show, Nick.
Yeah, it definitely did. That was actually, because usually after these pay-per-views, if I don't have the time to watch them, I'll, like, earmark some of the I wanted to watch a WWE Championship match, I wanted to watch Styles and Owens, I wanted to watch a couple of matches from NXT, but then when I heard about the UK Championship match with Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, like, the magnificent performance that they put on, I was like, I got to watch this match first. I got to see what everybody's talking about. I hear the buzz. Oh, my goodness, was that a fantastic matchup. Everything about that match I thought was great. I mean, just unbelievable technical skill from both those guys. Psychology, in-ring psychology, emotions on their face when, you know, they're being put in holds or, you know, after they took a big bump. I mean, it was just, man, just from start to finish, it was just fantastic. And it's crazy. Think about this. And what, Tyler Bate's what, like 19?
Tyler Bate is 20.
20. What? Yep. Pete Dunne's what, 23?
23.
That's crazy to me, man. That is just mind-boggling because, yeah, these guys stole the show, and it's like, I honestly can't wrap my mind around how they did that with, you know, what you would maybe consider some inexperience compared to some of the other competitors that wrestled throughout that night. I mean, it's crazy to think about.
I think it's one of those things where, you know, it's almost like a perfect storm. They had a really good match on that UK special.
They did.
To crown the first ever UK champion. Fantastic match. You know, we got a chance to watch it. It was awesome. And you knew that night, like, hey, they got something with these guys. NXT TakeOver proved that these guys are stars. And for them to take the gamble they did, signing those little contracts they did with the WWE to become, like, almost like WWE exclusive artists, they took a huge gamble on themselves, and it's paying off beyond belief.
That's
right now.
The thing is, like, when they first signed those contracts, a bunch of people were, like, bitching and complaining, like, oh, WWE's, like, you know, totally running roughshod with these guys. They're screwing them over with these contracts. And it's like, do you think, you know, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate would have had an opportunity to wrestle on that big of a stage for anywhere back in the UK? Most likely, probably not. I mean, now they're becoming international superstars because they're being known here in the States. And back home in UK, people are blowing up about these guys because they're their hometown boys stealing the show. If you're one of these guys, you want to wrestle for peanuts to get on that TakeOver show because, I mean, you're only increasing your name value at that point. One thing I found really interesting, I was listening to a few other podcasts, actually, over the past week.
I haven't had a chance.
Whenever you have some big shows like NXT TakeOver and Backlash and a lot of really controversial things happen, you like hearing viewpoints from, you know, former stars in the business, whatever. And what I kind of heard through one of them was the idea that the reason why this UK thing is really taking off, this match in particular took off, is because similar to the Cruiserweight Classic, it's just not a style that we here in the United States, we are able to see every single day as far as at least on the network, you know, if we don't go searching for it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You know, and they were kind of talking, and I thought it was kind of a valid point. Like, if we started up this UK every week series where we're getting this kind of wrestling, if we were to see it every Monday on Raw, do you think some of this, you know, some of the luster of UK wrestling would kind of... we kind of lose that a little bit if we had it more often to our disposal? It's kind of like the Cruiserweights. Like how at first we were like, this is awesome, yeah. And now it's kind of become this... it's just kind of become part of the show.
I remember we were so pumped after that Cruiserweight Classic.
Right.
We were so hyped for 205 Live.
Right.
I haven't even watched an episode yet.
Yeah.
You know, and I wonder, you know, you bring up a valid point. Sometimes, like, having too much of a good thing is bad. It's like, do you love Oreos?
I do.
I love Double Stuffed Oreos.
I love them.
You know, but I'm not going to go out of my way and buy a pack all the time.
You're right.
Like, I'll buy them when they're on, like, 2 for $5 or something.
And you're
like,
I haven't had Oreos for months. This is fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've been having Oreos for months because I'm not plowing through them all the time.
Right.
You know? So it becomes one of those things where maybe we necessarily don't see that style. And that's why it's always kind of cool, too, when, like, WWE would bring in a guy who had a certain different style.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Rey Mysterio.
Right.
He was the token luchador guy. But
he was.
We always loved it. William Regal's a token, like, English guy.
Right.
He had Finn Finley as the Irish guy and stuff like that, so we got to see the different styles. I wouldn't be... because usually what happens when you bring a style to America, the American style changes to adapt to that style. So, case in point, when you brought the lucha style into America, you saw a blend of that, like, an American lucha style became almost kind of like the beginning of that super indie style.
Right.
Same with, like, having... like the Japanese style blend into that with a strong
definitely,
style.
Yep.
So you had like a super indie style that a lot of guys now, like you look at a guy like Kevin Owens,
yep.
AJ Styles, yep. Like the majority of the guys on the main roster work a blended style of like lucha, strong style, technical, all this stuff. And can do it all now. And it all feels the same.
Right.
So you go and watch a guy like Dunn, who's so good with, like, the joint manipulation.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, that's part of the beauty of getting his character over, because he's the only guy doing that stuff.
Exactly.
You look at a guy like Tyler Bate, and he's just got, like, already this youthful charisma that he can't teach because he just has it inherently.
Because, well, yeah, you look at this guy, and you're like, this is a 20-year-old dude.
Yeah.
He's got tree trunks for legs.
He's
got
grown
the freaking
shittiest beard.
I know.
He has the shittiest beard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you're right, though. That's You make a valid point. Like, that's a very... something that I feel like you can't get from other guys, and I think that's something to keep an eye on for Tyler Bate moving forward.
Yeah.
Is actually when you mentioned it, I was watching that match, like Tyler Bate has this weird charisma,
yeah,
and I'm just like, I want to root for this kid,
exactly,
and I don't know why.
It's like a weird fresh face. There's nothing like unauthentic about him.
Right.
He's just Tyler Bate. He comes out there a little goofy with the wave,
yeah, with his...
the jacket, like just the presentation with Pete Dunne. Like the thing I really loved about this whole like UK thing,
vicious.
Is, like, they were able to establish who these guys were in a video package right beforehand.
Right.
Everyone got to see that. And I know there's a lot of people who are concerned whether or not these UK guys would get over in Chicago. Fucking ain't. Chicago's a great wrestling town.
Yeah.
Like, if they had that in Des Moines, I don't think they would have got over. But they had it in Chicago, and they became superstars that night. And, like, the sky's the limit for these guys.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's, like, the one thing that I'm noticing with at least some of the UK guys that we've seen lately, you know, I don't see anybody on that Cruiserweight, you know, 205 Live that has that, like, that Tyler Bate charisma.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Pete Dunne, we talked about this in our last road trip. Like, I think when we were talking about, like, top 10 wrestlers in the world right now, I think I brought up Pete Dunne maybe. Like, because I consider, like, just his aggressiveness, you know, if you're trying to think of a guy in, like, a region or a territory throughout the entire world, like, Pete Dunne coming out of the UK has to be one of them because, gosh, everybody says kayfabe's dead, but this dude literally, and when he's in the ring, he makes it look like kayfabe is alive and well. Like, this dude looks like he's actually hurting people, his facial expressions, his ring psychology, and then to pair that all with his technical ability in the ring, I mean, it's just, man, I love me some Pete Dunne. I could watch that guy wrestle every single
day of the
week.
And then if you just even look at the UK scene as it is, and where these guys are excelling now, like Marty Scurll and Ring of Honor, excelling beyond belief. Will Ospreay over in New Japan, like... unbelievable shit that these guys are doing. It's almost kind of crazy, man. Like, you can almost look at it as like an influx of guys coming together at the same point in time. It's almost kind of like the Seattle boom, you know, of the early 90s, and it just changed everything. We're seeing kind of like a small revolution happening in the UK right now, and it's affecting every major wrestling company in the world right now. So it's definitely something you want to keep an eye on going forward, especially as wrestling goes international.
We want to talk about international. Yeah. Another really big thing that happened on Sunday that everybody's talking about that I wanted to talk about a little here because there's so many differing opinions on that, and that's Jinder Mahal taking home the WWE Heavyweight Championship against Orton. You know, it got to a point where I kind of expected this almost to be very predictable just because of how much airtime they were giving Jinder. You know, people were complaining that they didn't build this guy before he won that match, but after he won the match to get the number one contendership, I mean, there was nobody built better looking than Jinder Mahal. I mean, this guy, to me, I watched his celebration on Tuesday, his post-match interview after Sunday's pay-per-view. Man, you know, for the first time, honestly, I'm just trying to think, for the first time since probably 2016, I mean, this guy, to me, feels like a champion. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens went through this rut where he was just like this comedy act as the Universal Champ on Raw.
Yeah.
Didn't feel very authentic. Kind of weird. Goldberg went through this thing where he knew he was a transitional champion. Lesnar hasn't been there since like the night after Mania. You know, SmackDown, they played hot potato with the belt for a while. Bray Wyatt and Orton, the title never seemed to be part of who they were. It was just there. Like, Jinder comes out on Tuesday and instantly I'm like, this motherfucker looks like a world champ. Like, just how he presented himself. Mm-hmm. He's cutting the generic heel promos, you know, I'm Indian, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's just like, it's so refreshing because, you know, you feel like for once WWE is putting putting some time into the championship opposed to putting time into the guy that has a championship. Does that make kind of sense a little bit?
Do you think some of that is that you have to put time into the championship to help get the guy over who's holding the championship?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And, you know, normally I don't think you want to look at the World Heavyweight title as an opportunity to elevate somebody, but oh my gosh, man. Like, I think... See, this is why this is so great, and people can hate on it all they want, but it's so fantastic to me because you have instantly, to me, made Jinder a star. Now, we'll find out in the next 6 months if this dude can keep up this role, like if he can still have this championship look, if he can kind of carry himself as a champ, because if he can, once he drops that belt, I mean, you have a star for life. You can do whatever you want with this guy. You also have another top guy. And, you know, people sitting here bitching about how it's like, oh, this guy, you know, he didn't deserve it. He just got it because of the Indian market. And it's like, this is how the championship has always been handed around. It's always been based on merchandise sales or, you know, drawing ability or whatever. Mm-hmm. You go listen, Jinder Mahal did a fantastic interview on Talk is Jericho just a few weeks ago.
Yep.
This dude was drawing like 60,000 people over in India when he was working the indies. I mean, this guy... You know, he's been on the indies for a while. It's not like he's just some rookie that
flash
came out of nowhere.
Guy.
He's not some flash in the pan guy. And, you know, again, I just think, you know, I love it that it seems like we finally have a champion. I don't know why, but Orton just never valued the championship. He never came out and talked about, you know, he just seemed like Randy Orton and, oh yeah, by the way, he's a champ. You know what I mean? It just didn't seem like a focal point of the show, and now we finally have that with Jinder Mahal. And, you know, I think for storyline purposes and everything, like this guy, he's obviously not going to, he's a huge heel right now. He has a ton of heat, but, and he's not going to, like, you know, probably fill up buildings, but man, moving forward, there's no better time to do this than right now for WWE, and I am so happy they made that decision.
With Jinder, it's always kind of interesting. You got to almost look back to when they re-signed him and how they kind of, with the slow build. They stuck him with Rusev. Rusev is already a top-tier heel at this point in time, even though they're not really kind of pushing him as that. You're able to get him one up on Rusev. He was there at the end of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. He gets involved with Gronk. Now, usually they don't put anyone, unless they trust the guy with a celebrity, they trust him in that spot.
Do you remember there was a couple of months ago where we did a show and we were talking and I was like, man, doesn't it seem weird? Like, it feels like Jinder every single week for the past few weeks has worked a top-tier face.
Yeah.
Like, it was Finn Balor one week. I can't remember who it was the other weeks, but it seemed like for, like, week after week, like, this dude was working with all the top names.
Getting
exactly.
Prepared. So, coming in, he cut a magnificent promo, like, pre-match against Orton. It was so good. He had an interview, I believe it was, like, on SI or something like that, where he was talking about, like, almost like the quintessential Hogan promo of like, I want to be there to show the kids of India that you can accomplish whatever dream you want. Like, it was a magnificent promo. And, you know, you kind of want to say, like, you know, a lot of wrestling fans are like, oh, who cares, you know, blah blah blah, but like, I this is a smart move, and they're really kind of banking on a guy who took enough time to go out there and show that he had the commitment, the heart, and the desire to be in that spot, because they could give that spot to anyone, and they have given that spot to a lot of
right,
people.
Right, yeah.
They've given it to Jack Swagger. They've given it to Dolph Ziggler. They've given it to a lot of guys who either...
Something
just,
came
just, up. Just, they couldn't swim, and they just end up sinking. Like, Alberto Del Rio. Like, the list goes on and on and on.
Yep.
And like, right now, we're only in week one of Don't Hinder Ginger. And it's going to be interesting going forward, especially when we look at Money in the Bank, and whoever wins that one, more than likely we take it on Jinder Mahal here in SummerSlam.
Yeah, and you're looking at Money in the Bank, and you have a list of guys who you'd kind of expect to be there at this point. It's basically Elimination Chamber 2.0 from what I've seen. You got Nakamura, you got AJ Styles, you have Kevin Owens,
yep.
You have Baron Corbin, you have Sami Zayn, and you have one other guy that I'm totally spacing out on, but... Oh, you got it right now?
I'm trying to find it, you know. And, you know, okay, here we got. We got
no,
Baron
Ziggler.
Baron Corbin, Nakamura, Owens, Styles, Zayn, and Ziggler.
Right. And you have a bunch of guys right there who could all benefit, I think, from holding a briefcase. But, you know, looking forward, you know, everybody keeps comparing this whole gender thing to what happened with JBL a few years back. And honestly, I think that's actually somewhat a valid opinion. I mean, you mm-hmm. bring a guy back, brand new gimmick. He kind of has that whole massive heat heel thing going on.
Yep.
I would love if Jinder can keep doing what he did on Tuesday with that celebration. I would love for Jinder to hold this belt for
a year.
Maybe 8 months. Give me 8 months. Give me until Survivor Series or Rumble. So maybe not a full 8 months. Maybe like six. But
I say, man, if you can. Have him hold that son of a bitch all the way to Mania.
You think so, really?
Yeah.
Because here,
like, with yeah. Mania being, like, this international gateway thing, like, man, what better
You're not
way?
Wrong.
You know, it's a huge thing to have a champion who might be a foreign export.
Right.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, though. Mm-hmm. You come back to the whole, you're yep. breaking into a market, and people are shitting on that.
Yeah.
They're a business.
Who gives a fuck
That's
if they're breaking
saying.
Into the market? Yeah.
You're a business. Yeah. This is what's good for business.
Look at look at the guys on the list for this Money in the Bank match and be like, okay, Nakamura, that's
Japan.
Them. Japan.
Yeah.
All right. Zayn's an interesting character there. I think Zayn's really got a good shot to win that.
You think so?
And this is the reason why, is because I think with the combination of Zayn's Canadian Arabic heritage, that's fun thing you can do right there. Styles is another guy. Look at Styles.
International guy.
Got the Owens indie cred, right?
Yep.
And then you have Ziggler, who's been there. Shit, someone brought it up. Ziggler's been in the WWE system for 12 fucking years.
That's crazy.
It's nuts. 12. Stale shit, too.
He's so stale. He did not do Nakamura any favors at that show. Yeah.
Yeah, Ziggler made Nakamura work a Ziggler match,
yep.
and it was god-awful.
It was not good.
And then you had Baron Corbin, who's just... Baron Corbin's got
an asshole.
He's got very good upside as a mid-card heel, but I don't think he's ever going to be a heavyweight championship contender.
Really?
He's a hell of a mid-card heel.
Let's talk about this really quick. So we have this list of guys right here. It was they announced it on Tuesday. Let's talk about this list of guys and realistic expectations. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Zayn could win this one. I'm going to do one that's similar to yours. It's related to yours. I'm going to say that Owens wins this, and mm-hmm. I think the reasoning behind it is I think Sami Zayn earns himself a title shot here. Whenever, against him mm-hmm. and Jinder are going to go through a little angle here. And I think that Zayn is going to have an opportunity to win the belt before Kevin Owens comes out, cashes in, and we continue on the lifelong feud that is Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens.
You can definitely do that. Now, I already made the case, too, for Owens being one of the guys that Jinder really should face.
Right.
You know, because Jinder came out and actually cut. He's the new American Dream. And then, of course, you have Owens doing
face
the whole,
of
like, face America.
Which
at some
great.
Point. At some point, those two ideologies have to collide
right.
just because it makes so much sense.
And honestly, I mean, yeah. I could see either Kevin Owens or Jinder mm-hmm. becoming a massive babyface over the next, you know, few months.
Owens, for sure. Styles is an intriguing case here. Styles can make anyone in that ring. So if you want to get a world-class main event, you might stick Jinder with Styles.
Exactly, yeah, definitely.
And that would hold a case maybe for like a SummerSlam.
But when you look at that here, when you look at the Money in the Bank, the big thing to me about a Money in the Bank title, and this is why I never understood giving the briefcase to guys like John Cena or whatever, mm-hmm. because guys like Styles, you should easily be able to write this guy earning himself a title shot in any storyline.
Yes and no. Like
How not?
The way I look at it is, okay, so... New Japan does the G1,
yeah.
and the winner of the G1 basically gets the G1 briefcase.
It's
the similar thing to Money in the Bank, but instead of cashing it, whenever they want, they get a guaranteed title opportunity at Wrestle Kingdom.
But G1, if you want to relate it to WWE terms, it's more like a King of the Ring tournament.
Well, G1's more of like a round robin thing. Yeah. If you look at Money in the Bank, what it is basically almost like your Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And you should use that title opportunity, not just on a gimmick that gives you an out when you feel like, you know what, let's get a cheap win on some guy. Fuck that cheap win shit, because I will go back to Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar. I am so on board with this one right here. If you did not have Rollins with a cheap win there, with the Money in the Bank briefcase,
Roman Reigns would be made.
You could have made Roman Reigns.
Jesse, we talk about this probably once every other episode.
Exactly.
Since it happened.
That's going to be like on my tombstone. It's going to be Jesse Von Rudin totally believes that Roman Reigns would have been main man at that WrestleMania if it was not for
Seth. I don't think you're
Rollins.
Wrong. I think you're right about that.
And if WWE, at some point, they have to get rid of that 24/7 thing, because then you can build. And I think the key for a lot of these guys is the fact that you can build.
Right.
Instead of just giving the instant gratification, then we're like, what's next? What's next? You have to build.
I will just never, ever give up on the thought of Sami Zayn going over Kevin Owens at WrestleMania for his first WWE Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
So to tell that story in my mind, you give Owens the briefcase, you give Sami Zayn and Jinder Mahal a program for a couple of months, and then right before Sami Zayn can get the win, maybe you do a double down or something similar to that triple threat. You have Owens come out, capitalize on the situation, win the belt, and then it's like, man, is this motherfucker really never going to leave Zayn alone?
You know what would be the coolest thing about the Zayn fucking Jinder Mahal feud?
What's that?
It's like how proud Jinder is of his, like yeah. his
That's
background.
The great part about it.
His nationalism with India and stuff like that. And then, like, he's like, Zayn, look at you. You're Arabic, but no one would know. Zayn's like, come on, man.
You're also from Canada. We're both from Canada.
Yeah.
Let's just be real here for a second.
I think you can really have some really good stuff with there. We'll figure out where we go. Because, of course, Jinder and Randy Orton are going to have their rematch.
That's right.
Of course, at the pay-per-view for Money in the Bank as well. So we'll see how that one goes. That's in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So, I mean, big hometown feel there for Randy Orton. If he's not over that night, then
nothing's going to get him over.
Yeah, exactly. Even killing one of the Bollywood boys.
He actually got pretty over in Chicago, I think. Overall, I think Orton and Jinder's match wasn't too bad. It was kind of fun. It was, it was slow-paced or whatever, but like we talked about a little bit before we started recording, Jinder has never been in that situation before.
Never.
That's the first time he's ever been in that big of a matchup.
The first 5 minutes of that matchup was hot fire.
Yep.
I really liked it, and I liked the closing sequence as well. It was just everything that's in the middle. Maybe you cut 5 minutes out of that match.
Yep.
Have those Bollywood boys get involved a lot more.
Yep.
Maybe like a ref bump, something like that. Just keep that.
That's the great part about it, too, is we got the Bollywood boys are now being elevated thanks to this whole Jinder thing.
Yeah, except when
we got the henchmen.
Except when they're getting killed.
They're getting de-elevated onto the table. That's definitely a big takeaway.
All right, cool. So one of the bigger things that everyone wanted to talk about, too, about Backlash, was the debut of Nakamura taking on Ziggler.
You mentioned a little bit, and man, that just... Do you think... Okay, because everybody's talking about how this match is a disappointment, and I think it's kind of hard to argue against that, but do you think part of that disappointment is because the hype that Nakamura had going in? Or is it a disappointment because you know the type of worker that Nakamura could be? Because let's be honest here, right? Nakamura's NXT title run wasn't... I don't think since that first match against Zayn, he has had a match that good since. You know what I mean?
I think some of it is... All right, so hear me out on this one. Nakamura doesn't need to wrestle New Japan Strong Style to get over in America. He knows that. But I think Nakamura, at this point in time, because of that, needs the right dance partner. Now, I know everyone wants to say Ziggler is some great, out-of-world fucking wrestling worker.
Right.
I don't... Honestly, to me, like, whatever luster Ziggler had, like, it's been gone.
It left after that, like, third concussion he had. He's just not the same guy.
He overcompensates his gimmick, his style, all that stuff.
Yep.
Now, if you're looking for a good squash guy, Ziggler should have been that squash guy.
Yep.
Because he can take those crazy bumps for Nakamura.
Yep.
Because Ziggler could have taunted whatever, turned around, kin Sasha right in the head.
Yep.
That could have been it. That could have been the end of that match. But they ended up doing was almost like extended squash.
Classic.
With Nakamura working from the bottom.
Yep.
Which is not his strong suit because he's not a sympathetic face. Nakamura is a cocky,
Rockstar, fucking
in your face the whole time. Very much like that match he had with Zayn. That's his best fucking match.
You go back to his Wrestle Kingdom matches. He was never that guy that's playing from the, you know, trying to work his way from the bottom. Yeah. I mean, it's always just fucking hard hitting match. It's like totally untraditional from what the WWE. Yeah. Whatever you want to call it, house style is, or whatever.
Call it house style.
It's a house style, or whatever, you know. And that's, I think, that's exactly what it was. That was the problem.
So you go out there and you have Ziggler dictate the pace, and no, Ziggler's not the right guy for that spot. If you wanted to put anyone in that spot, you could have put Sami Zayn back in that spot because it would made sense. It's a good matchup. You get a rematch. You know they're going to fucking tear it down. They're going to have. But that was just not the case in point for that night. But I don't think they ruined Nakamura's debut, because a lot of that might just be like critique from fans who've seen him before and stuff like that. Because you have to listen to the fans who've never seen him before.
That's true.
He got a tremendous pop coming out there. And by the end of that matchup, there were so many new Nakamura fans. It's probably going to be unreal the amount of merchandise he's going to sell when they come through the area on the SmackDown tours and stuff like that. They have a main man right there.
Yeah.
And maybe, like, we're just, you know, spitting into an ocean right now. And that's very well what could it be.
He just had such a big run coming into NXT and then, you know, going for the belt and stuff. And it seemed like there were times where he just kind of... Because, you know, his run against Joe was the same thing where, Joe's this big monster heel, so Nakamura was trying to play a sympathetic babyface, and he just can't do it. You make a fantastic point, Jesse. Yeah. Seriously. Good job on you. Fucking hit the nail on the head. This dude cannot be a sympathetic babyface. And you have to, wonder, I mean, I almost think, if you want to make this dude made in the shade, I think you have to put him against a Zayn or an AJ Styles here. I wonder, they might be saving the Styles thing for Mania, but I think, you got to put together one of those just classic Nakamura hard-hitting, cocky matches at one of the pay-per-views here coming up. Obviously, it's not going to happen at Money in the Bank. I'm kind of curious to see how he
gels in that situation.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right, though. The debut, I think, was mostly disappointing, and I think it's a mixture of having to wait 2 months for this guy to actually work, working a lengthy match against Ziggler when he should have just kicked him in the face like 10 times.
Especially with like the way they built that program was very much, verbal dissection by Ziggler.
He's ripping him up.
But Ziggler's not that good on the mic either. Yep. And like Nakamura, English is a second language, motherfucker. He's not going to turn around with some good like, bleh, and be like, hey, dog Ziggler.
I still honestly think Miz would have been a great first opponent. If Miz would have sold for him and they would have done it differently than they did the Ziggler match, I think that would have been great.
Miz would have been the perfect guy, and they really shot themselves in the foot with moving Miz to fucking Raw when they did.
I agree.
That's neither here nor there. That's WWE booking, and we're not here to really kind of rip on WWE booking, even though we do it every week.
Yep.
That's just the way it is.
Definitely. Well, we're kind of running late a little bit here. We might try to get to some indie wrestling after our spotlight in the squared circle, but we are going to be sitting down hearing from Garrison Creed, rookie over there getting trained in the Dojo of Pain. Garrison Creed, has come a long way since the first time we saw him. Guy has been doing fantastic things here in the Wisconsin indie scene over the past few months, and even had a chance to work in Danny Duggan's Canada tour. So this guy has been making waves. Great look. Guy is one of the most athletic dudes you'll see in the scene today. And Jesse, I'm pretty excited to hear what he has to talk about here in a few moments.
Yeah, we got to thank our correspondent Melissa for doing the interview.
That's right.
In the car. So it's going to be interesting to see how that one turned out.
Yeah, definitely going to be interesting, because usually whenever we have Melissa on the show, it's questionable. But
well, if our producer,
I'm not going to get any cookies.
If our producer had it his way, she would never be on the show.
I wonder why. That's coming up next. We'll see you guys after the interview.
This is the Monster of the Midwest, Sadus. There's a couple of things I really, really like. I like to hurt people, and I like grapple talk. So I'm going to keep listening.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smart Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling. WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews with some of the Midwest up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter, @SmartMoney. Check us out.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with this week in wrestling history, and we go, hey, whatever happened to you? Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RBEnterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
Hey, this is Dave Dynasty from the Dave Dynasty Show. Hey, check out our weekly podcast where you get my take on wrestling headlines. I answer listener questions, and I interview your favorite independent wrestling stars. You can find us at www.davedynasty.com or look up The Dave Dynasty Show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Thanks for your support.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up...
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up...
Yes! 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 Yes!
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
I am here with Garrison Creed.
Light the fuses, bitches!
Okay, whatever that was. I'm a little hoarse because we just both got done with our RWA's Frenzy in Fort Dodge, Iowa. You actually got it easy by wrestling very early on in the card, while I had to ring announce everything.
Match so. Number two.
Yeah, lucky for you. Try announcing five matches the whole night. And other stuff in between.
Yeah.
Try it one time. Don't tell me how your voice is.
No, you can take that all yourself.
Okay, thank you.
I don't think anybody wants to see me standing in the middle of the ring with a microphone talking.
True. So. I have the better legs. They're Tanner.
Well, mine are bulkier and hairy.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that.
No, I don't think so.
All right, so we tried this one time, recording an interview, but things happen. So for those who do not know who Garrison Creed is, why don't you tell everybody on Grapple Talk who is Garrison Creed?
I am the Soldier of Fortune, Garrison Creed. Trained at the Dojo of Pain, trained by Shane Hills. Wrestling primarily out of Wisconsin, but even since the last time that we talked, Melissa, I seem to have expanded. I'm working on Upper Michigan, I'm working around Illinois, just had a successful debut in Iowa today with RWA, and have now two tours under my belt with Canadian Wrestling's Elite up in Canada.
Nice. And now, some people may be hearing this be like, wow, you know, he's gone a lot of places. I wonder how long he's been in. You and I have talked about this coming down here, and even a little bit later. You actually have not been wrestling very long yourself.
1 year. I just celebrated my 1 year in-ring anniversary just a couple of weeks ago.
Wow. 1 year. And you have all that already under your belts. I mean, two tours of Canada already. I mean, how did this second tour go?
It was great. Got to go out and travel through four provinces up in Canada. The fan base up there is great. Got to wrestle outstanding talent from all over North America, as well as a New Japan Pro from Japan, obviously.
They're not from China?
No. I haven't come across any Chinese talent yet.
Oh, okay.
It was just a great opportunity to come across guys who wrestled for... who are just breaking out of the business themselves and trying to branch out. Guys who've been in the business for 20-something years, like Tony Cazina. Great guy to listen to. I learned so much from him, trained with him in the ring, had some excellent matches as well. I got to sit down with Paul Orndorff. Me and him became good buddies while we were over there. Ate breakfast a couple of times, shared a couple of beers, shared a lot of stories. I got to pick his brain, which was just a great opportunity to learn from a WWE Hall of Famer.
Did you get get his Facebook account information? Are you friends on Facebook?
He doesn't have a Facebook.
Snapchat? Twitter?
No. Okay. He's very old-fashioned. He didn't even have a cell phone.
Wow.
Yeah, very old-fashioned guy. And he likes his morning coffee with honey. Not so much sugar.
Learn something new every day, I guess. So, another thing we had talked about was, you're the soldier of fortune. Well, that kind of plays into your life outside of wrestling.
Yes, it does. Prior to being now part of the wrestling community, being involved in it, I was, for 5 years, a soldier in the U.S. Army, 11 Bravo Infantry. I got 2 tours in Iraq under my belt, over 29 months in combat, multiple situations, exposures. I have a lot of stories I could be talking about over a couple of beers that would last all night. But my character, my gimmick is... It's a shoot. And my character and gimmick is not an act. It is me. It is who I am. It's what I did beforehand, and... even though I tried getting away from it in my own personal life, I, learned and became a soldier, and I'm still living my life that way. It shows in my training routine, it shows in the way I work out, it shows my organizational skills, and now I'm bringing that know-how and talents, I guess, and abilities to the ring.
Now, another thing we had talked about with your background as a soldier and bringing that into the wrestling world, you did your tour up in Canada. Up in Canada, you're actually a good guy, but here amongst quite a bit of the companies you work for in the States, you're a bad guy.
Yeah, I'm a bad guy.
So, which do you prefer to do? Being the good guy, being the bad guy, or you love mixing it up?
Especially being so new to the business, it's great to get the experiences of mixing it up. Personally, I do like being the bad guy more. More crowd interaction. I get to feel that emotion a little bit more strongly with them. But being a face has its benefits. You get to do the cool maneuvers in the ring. I like to show off my more athletic abilities and aerial abilities. So when I'm up in Canada, I take those liberties and tend to experiment with the high-flying aspect of things. When I'm a heel, I'm going to keep my feet on the ground and play it a little safer. And do that, work the crowd more. So definitely being a heel, it's more fun. But at the same time, I do like to show off. So getting that opportunity as a face, it's kind of a nice change of pace.
Nice. Now, so let's backtrack a little bit. So you were a soldier in the United States Army, correct?
Yes.
So what led you to pro wrestling?
Always wanted to be. I grew up watching the Monday Night Wars between WWE or WWF and WCW. Not so much a fan of the headliners. I was always a fan of mid-card guys, the Dean Malenko's, Rey Mysterio's, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit. Psychosis was a personal favorite of mine. And I caught wind of the ECW at the time, and I started watching a lot of that. Became a huge fan of Raven, Tommy Dreamer. Seeing guys like Super Crazy, the crazy stuff that they would do. Sabu, Rob Van Dam. It was just being a kid watching these guys do this athletic, athletic ability. I wanted to emulate that so much. And I can only do so much in sports through school. You can definitely say high school wrestling is not nearly the same as professional wrestling.
No, it is not. I did it for a month freshman year. Ended with a dislocated elbow. Never went back to it again. Thank you, Kurt Angle, for nothing.
I've had plenty of dislocated joints in high school wrestling. The colors, the characters, the athletic ability, the know-how. It always intrigued me, so I really wanted to do it from a young age. But just... just like any person wants to play, be it, you know, the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers or the Dallas Cowboys, not everybody gets to be that quarterback. So when I graduated from high school, you know, a dose of reality hit. I'm not sure if this is going to hit, you know, happen. So I went and joined the military, getting a completely different set of skills, set up for a different type of life. And the dream was still there, but it really wasn't set in anymore. I didn't have any wheels in motion to make it happen until about 20 months ago, when I found out there was wrestling school actually not that far from where I live. And I asked myself, why my first year of finding out about this now, and more importantly, why am I not there? Within a week of finding it out, I was there.
Well, they say things do happen for a reason. There is obviously a reason it might have taken you so long. Because, look, 1 year and you've already traveled all over right now, almost. Already gotten out of the country. I mean, what else are you looking forward to doing?
Branching out further. I want to get the name, the Soldier of Fortune, Garrison Green, known. Not just across the Midwest, and I'm slowly getting, you know, very quickly getting that done. I want to go national, have that out there. I already have a good chunk of Canada down with the CWE, and they're also branching out themselves too. In August, when I go up for my next tour, they're supposed to be branching out into 5 provinces. Having 20 tour dates instead of this last one having only 16. One in January only had 12. So, I mean, even they're quite quickly progressing and making their tours even larger than the previous ones. So I just want to follow that trend in myself, my own personal career, going national, you know, working as often as I can, being on the road as often as I can. There's a lot of guys around that I've run into that this is their weekend thing. They treat it more like a hobby. No, and I'm not looking at it that way. This is also my lifestyle, but it's also my career. This is my living now, and I'm treating it as such.
16 days, that's quite a long trek to do. I mean, is it like Friday, Saturday, or how do they do their shows?
16 days straight, a new town, and every day, the full 16 days, Monday, Tuesday, all the way through Sunday, starting on over. They didn't stop.
Pretty good crowds at those shows.
Every night. We filled house, we packed gyms, we packed the stable.
Wait, what? There's the story there. There's got to be.
It's not too much of a story. It's just the place was known more for outdoor rodeo shows, and they used one of their storage facilities, a large barn, to have the show in. And we still packed it. I remember night. It was a great night for merchandise sales for myself. In Canada, they treated it the same way here. If you got the room to set up the ring, we'll have a show. We'll give you a show. We'll do the best we can and give you the best damn show we can give you.
Did anybody step in horse poo in that stable?
No, there wasn't any animals in there.
Well, at least they gave you a clean stable. At least they gave you a clean stable. No hay to fall on at
least? Nope. Oh, God, I wish.
I bet.
I've taken a couple of dives in the concrete now. There goes that experimenting with aerial moves.
When not to and when to do aerial moves. Note, look at the ground below.
I was going to say, make sure you got a nice landing pad, i.e. an opponent that's bigger than you.
Right. Maybe Tiny Love next time.
Ooh, that'd be a very nice landing pad.
Tiny, we love you. Well, I don't know. I guess love you. Who knows? Hashtag sucking up. I don't know. So, something else we talked about. Your name is Garrison Creed, but you do not spell it the correct way. You add your own little twist to it. Why not spell it out for those who don't know how it's spelled?
It is spelled G-A-R-I-S-A-O-N.
No, why spell it that way?
It's different. It stands out. And anything that I can do to make, you know, people give a second look to something, even if it looks like a misspelling. Let's do it. I mean, it's caught on. A lot of people don't even question it. Well, I got a couple of people that are smart asses about it. Garrison.
You're French now?
It's supposedly.
Hey, you can get away with that in Quebec.
I can get away with that. I've not been to Quebec yet either.
They're branching out.
I do need to branch out. Quebec, if you hear me, Garrison Creed.
No. CWE branch out into Quebec, so Garrison Creed can be used there.
Right. And I bet you know Danny Duggan, the promoter for CWE. I'm sure he's well underway of trying to branch out as far as he can.
Sounds like it. He's one hell of a dude.
He's a very ambitious young man.
He does seem that way, which is really cool. You're very ambitious yourself. So, I mean, 1 year, how many matches now under your belt would you say you have?
Oh, we're trying to figure out the math for that this year alone, weren't we?
I think so, because, like, you...
I think I'm under 100 this year. I broke 50 last year.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm probably upwards of about...
Well, you had 16 days already.
That was just... Yeah, 16 and 12.
And then 12, that's 28
Canada.
Alone.
I would probably... If I had to take a rough estimate, I'd probably say I'm upwards of about 160, 170 matches.
Just already now in this point of the year. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm kind of beside myself right now. I'm just thinking of that. I'm like, holy crap, that is a lot.
That is a lot, and we're not even halfway through the year whenever this gets played.
Right.
Whenever
right?
we see Riley decides to edit it into the show, I'm just... Well, no, you know...
Hey, hold on a second. I got to pick up that dime.
Wait, what? Where did that come from? Oh, my gosh. So... 1 year, right now, over 170 matches. I mean, is there any one or a couple matches that stand out that you're like, oh, these were awesome matches, I would love to face this person again, or we did so well, I wouldn't want to face them again?
Well, I've had a lot of memorable matches. I mean, I've had a lot of growing matches, you know, where I've learned some lessons. The Monster Sadist, I had a couple of great matches with him from the get-go, which helped me very early on in the beginning just establish who I am. I mean, I'm not the biggest of guys, you know, only standing at, you know, at 5'10", 207 pounds, 209 pounds, depending on the day.
Tonight you were 209.
Yes, I'm 200. I'm pretty sure if I stepped on the scale right now, I'd probably be going 211. I did eat dinner.
Good Canadian pizza. Boom, boom. Shh. Shout out to Danny Duggan again.
But yeah, so I'm not the biggest competitor in the ring. But when I do step in that ring, I do act like I'm 10 feet tall. And that's no doubt about it. I have a presence in the ring that I like to portray. So having matches with Steve Sadist were great to establish that. Guys like TW3, who are very fast and spotty, and they like to do their they like to have their spots with the kickboxing and all that. That let me branch out into a whole other style, to be able to keep up with that very fast paced style and do that. And then, you know, again, going up to Canada, being able to get in the ring with some talent there, Tony Cassina. I didn't get to have any matches with him my first tour, but the second tour, I was lucky enough to have two of them. And just being able to slow down, work on the crowd a lot more, develop that very highly technical aspect with him, was a two great learning experiences. I also had a very memorable match with a man by the name of Jacob Creed, who works heavily in the Saskatchewan area in Canada. And we had a brawl. The funny thing with my match with Jacob Creed, too, that was my first experience with breaking your ring.
Wait, you broke a ring?
Yes, I broke the ring.
You Big Show Brock Lesnar the ring?
Not that much.
No?
The welds on the side form gave out and broke, so we had a corner wall of the ring fell. And I almost went over the ring, because all the ring ropes loosened, and this happened right as I hit the ropes. The smaller guy hit the ropes, not the 265-pound Jacob Green, as you would think it would break with him. Nope.
Somebody sabotaged you.
Nah, I think I'm just a fat ass. But no, when I hit the ropes, the well gave through, a corner of the ring fell, and I still remember the spot amazingly, and we finished the match in a lopsided ring. Dives and all.
Wow, please tell me that somebody came out to fix that for the next match before...
We weren't able to. We didn't have... We had to actually do the rest of the show. There was two matches after us that had to use a lopsided ring. We had to get a specialist out there, and this happened on a Saturday night, so we had to get a specialist out there on a Sunday morning to weld together the broken pieces of the ring to do the next 15 days of the tour.
Oh, wait, this happened on the first day of the tour?
This happened on the very first day.
Well, I guess it's not a bad thing, because at least you guys were able to get somebody out there so that you had a ring for the next 15 days. Because I can't imagine what would have happened if it happened in the middle of the tour. I mean, do they have a backup ring at least? Or will they invest in a backup ring now?
They had backup ropes. They didn't have the ring set up. I felt, though, that the ring actually collapsed in like that on us, built on more to the match. Because, I mean, if anybody listening here is familiar with Jacob Creed, he is not a very technical guy. He is a giant rock'em sock'em robot. He goes on in there and he likes to boot you in the face and clothesline you from hell. And I felt that me and him were doing just that. Then, whoops, the ring breaks, and it just added to it, because we just continued to just throw a very heavy-handed fist for the rest of the match until I rolled him up from pin.
Sorry, I had to take an energy shot right there. You know, driving 6 hours, you gotta stay awake somehow. I don't even know if you're driving the full 6 hours. You may be driving some, but... Yeah, I know. I actually got to see him for the first time today. Jacob Creed, not Jason Creed. Like, I messed up probably in saying that, but hey... There you go. At least now you got a new moniker if you wanted to switch it up. I mean, JC, you can do a lot with JC on your pants, I'm just saying.
If he ever gets work pants made, he likes his jeans.
Yeah, but he's at least got them. You didn't notice his jeans, he had them.
Oh, yeah, and he's got the skulls on the side.
Yeah, I was going to say, and he's got his initials JC on the side.
Oh, I didn't notice that much. I know he's got the skulls on the sides.
You obviously don't pay attention very much.
I don't check out guys' legs that often.
I wasn't checking out the legs on purpose. It's just right there in my eyesight. Actually, speaking of like just noticing and realizing things, since we were talking about the RWA show, do you realize in that Fatal 4-Way tonight, 3 of the wrestlers' names started with J, and then you had AZ Riley, which fucked it all up. I mean, you had Jacob Creed, James Hunter, and Jay Leo. And actually, even come to think of it, if you want to hear even more, I noticed these little things, okay? The Crazed Cowboy, Jacob Creed. Cowboy, James Hunter.
Yep.
Modern Day Hippie, Jay Leo. AC Riley.
And AC Riley.
And AC Riley.
Does he have a gimmick?
Well,
He's got that toy on his arm.
Pip-Boy.
Oh, a Pip-Boy?
It's from Fallout. I have friends who play that game.
Okay.
I learned.
Now we got to flip this roll around. You got to explain to the people listening, Fallout, Pip-Boy, we're not all gamer geeks here.
I'm not a gamer geek. I just have friends who play Fallout. It's a first-person, save the apocalyptical world type of thing. I don't know. Talk to him. Talk to my friends. They know more about it. I only know because... Well, I bought him something for Christmas, and now he uses it when he comes to the ring and
whatever.
There you
go, folks. You want to know what Fallout is? Google.
Google it. I'm sure they probably know what Fallout is. I mean, I don't know who all Grapple Talk listeners are, but I'm sure quite a few of them know Fallout or Halo or all that other stuff. I mean,
it's a video game.
I just use my Xbox for the WWE Network and Netflix. Okay.
You take a gun and go pew pew.
That sound a gun makes pew pew
pew pew
pew pew pew pew.
Randy Fitzsimmons.
Pew pew. But yeah, no, actually, you know, no, they all have monikers and he didn't. Well, no, King of RWA and RWA Heavyweight Champion. Do those count as no. Because you're the Soldier of Fortune, Downtown Petey Brown. Well, Tiny Love doesn't even have anything. No, he doesn't.
He hasn't offered you the love scene, has he?
God, no. Superstar Steve Stardom, Minnesota Mack Truck, Moses Mayhem. Damon Knight doesn't have anything either. No, he doesn't. We've totally taken a completely different turn in this interview, but this is what happens when you travel on the road. You just have
fun.
You talk. Have fun, and, you know, if this makes this in, this is great. I mean, this is some good stuff to just, like, sit here and be like, who has monikers and who don't? Sade is technically Monster of the Midwest,
Monster of the
but I don't know if he uses that much anymore. Hey, Sadist, if you're listening to this, hey, Mom. Monster of the Midwest.
Sadist is also known as Mom.
I never thought of it that way. And FYI, I am completely sober, so this is just me being me. That is fine. But we should get back to you. The interview is technically about you, even though you turned the tables on me a little bit.
Hey, we started talking about monikers and hairstyles and love scenes.
No, we did not talk about hairstyles. You just brought that up. Why'd you bring that up? Are you talking about someone's hairstyle in particular?
David Knight.
Oh, you were talking about him?
I was going to bring up the spikes, but okay.
I was thinking Pidgeotto Boy.
Petey Brown?
Huh?
Petey Brown?
No. Wait, Petey Brown has Pidgeotto hair?
Well, after I ripped the hair bun, or the band bun off of his head, it just kind of like, poof.
So there's two people that have Pidgeotto hair.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, that, or you could call it somebody else's hair, a certain somebody, but I don't want to use that moniker because who wants to be connected to that? So I just, it's Pidgeotto hair.
We'll go with that.
Okay. Pidgeotto hair. All right, so going back to you, we talked about opponents, we've talked about matches. Who's somebody that you have not yet worked with in a match that you would love to work with?
Oh.
Against.
So many people. Devlin Kane.
Give me your tape three. Tape three? Top three.
Top three. Devlin Kane comes to mind.
Okay. Somebody book that.
A singles match with Nick Colucci. And one I still would love to come across, Logan Lynch.
You had to throw his name out there, didn't you?
Of course.
Okay, you know what? Since this is Grapple Talk, you kind of actually have heat with Grapple Talk.
I don't have any heat with Grapple Talk.
No, you do. The
Garrison Creed Legion has heat with Grapple Talk.
Okay, all right. Tell them why.
I've had a lot of fans come on up to me and ask me why I did not get Grapple Talk's Rookie of the Year. And I simply told them, well, the people at Grapple Talk, the fans that follow that, they like Logan Lynch a lot better.
Why do you think that is?
He looks like Chris Jericho. He's got long hair. He's got the smooth baby face going on.
He does wear a jacket now, and it doesn't glow, but his glasses do.
Glasses do. He's kind of got a Fabio thing about him.
Next,
less plastic.
And not blonde.
Oh, he is blonde.
No,
he's a dirty blonde.
No, trust me. I know dirty blonde. I'm a dirty blonde. He's not a dirty blonde. He's a light brunette.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
He's a light brunette.
Oh, I've had a lot of fans come on up to me and ask me why I'm not Rookie of the Year, or they suggest that I should be Rookie of the Year, and I'm like, well, I'm past that year point already. I'm out of the running for Rookie of the Year.
All right. Well, okay. I wonder how that's going to work now. But, yeah, Grapple Talk, heads, powers that be, whatever I should call you guys. Here's your up-and-comer for 2017, Garrison Creed. And I'm not saying this just because I have to drive with him for another 5 hours and some odd minutes. Just saying, I'm throwing my vote for Garrison Creed unless I see somebody else come up and you know, who's an up-and-comer. You know, because there you go. That can be an award you win for 2017. Okay. Up-and-comer.
Okay. I like the recognitions and all, but I do it. I like to be simply in the ring, doing what I love to do, making sure that the fans enjoy their show. The awards and recognitions are great. I'm not exactly doing it for that. If the fans and the podcast deem that worthy, I won't deny it.
There you go. All right, so we should soon wrap things up, but a couple more things to hit on. All right, we've talked about matches, opponents, a little bit of some fun stories. Give me, though, your funnest or weirdest road trip memory thus far that just will always be in your mind no matter what, that has not been topped yet.
Travis Cole, I'm calling you out on this one. I don't remember the city it was in. We're in Canada, but the
at least you're in, you know, you're in
it
Canada.
I was on this last tour in Canada, and one of the sponsors was actually this little chicken shop diner that decided to stay on open so that way we can all get some food and something to eat after the show, which thankfully, because everything shuts down at 10 o'clock at night in Canada, don't know why.
Is that everywhere?
Pretty much.
Shit.
Pretty much. Okay. They're a very old-fashioned area. I really like it. I'm actually considering moving. But anywho, Danny Duggan was talking with Travis Cole and giving him a hard time, like he usually does, especially about Travis's gimmick of, is he not, is he in the closet, is he out of the closet?
He did come out as Woody tonight.
He did wear a Woody costume.
Yeah.
We're talking about Toy Story, people. Toy Story, the little cowboy?
Yeah, but he came out as Tasty Travis.
Wasn't a Tasty Woody?
Why are you asking me?
Anywho, it was... But, hey, that means there's three cowboys on that show tonight.
Technically, yeah.
Travis is sitting down. Danny's, you know, giving him a hard time. Danny pulls out his phone and starts recording. Now, we had... At that moment, Travis was sitting next to a young up-and-comer from Texas by the name of Ethan Page. Now, Ethan Page... is out of the closet. He is very open about his
sexual preferences.
Yes, his sexual preferences. And he took the cue that Danny, you know, recording Travis, and gave Travis a very passionate kiss. Turned his head, lips to lips, and gave him a very passionate kiss.
I hope they got some money for that.
Well, YouTube got 3,000 hits in a day.
Wow.
So, that video is out there. There are pictures out there.
Travis Cole kissing Ethan Page?
Yes.
Okay, search for that on YouTube, everyone. Yes.
And on top of it, Travis was not only smiling, but blushing. I do believe, Travis Cole, the secret is out.
But, you know, as the one song by Katy Perry, she kissed a girl and liked it, but we know. So, maybe
so Travis Cole kissed a boy and he liked it.
There you go. Alright, I can't think of any better way to kind of leave things. If people want to get a hold of Garrison Creed, how do they do that? Facebook, Twitter?
Facebook is the easiest. I do have a Twitter. It's empty. I do also have an Instagram, which I'm starting to get back up on a little bit. I'm not the most socially savvy person online. But Facebook is the easiest way to get a hold of me. Like my page, Garrison Creed. We handled the spelling earlier in the show. G-A-R-R-I-S-A-O-N. Creed, C-R-E-E-D.
Like the band Creed.
With the arms wide open.
My sacrifice.
Oh.
Can you take me higher?
Wow. So yeah, go to Facebook, like my page, Garrison Creed. You can message me on there, promoters. You book me, I will travel, I will wrestle, I will give you your last dime's worth. I'm looking to make the rest of this year bigger and, start making my goals for next year.
All right, well, there you have it, guys. Stay tuned for more Grandpa Talk right after this.
This is Stacy Shadows.
We've said it numerous times that Stacy Shadows is one bad bitch.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk, the best indie wrestling podcast right now known to man.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, indiepowerrankingsipr.wordpress.com.
You're listening to Grapple Talk,
the hottest property in this industry today.
Keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Welcome back to Grapple Talk. Great interview there with Garrison Creed. Always good to hear about how things are going for him, especially. You know, it's always nice to kind of just hear from some of those young guys here in the Wisconsin scene. And, man, it's still crazy to me to go back and think, like, you know, I remember shaking that dude's hand before he had his first match, and mm-hmm. now watching him now and seeing how much he's progressed, it's like I just feel old.
And you know what the crazy thing is, though, Nick? You're not old because that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah,
all right. So, but it's one of those things where, you know, Garrison Creed, non-traditional guy getting into wrestling when he did, a little bit older.
Right.
He's making the most of his opportunities. And I think that's a lesson that a lot of people in the business, yes. really, if you want to get outside of your comfort zone, you have to do it.
This dude's working every weekend, I think.
And it's never too late to do it.
Yeah, right. I mean, this, like you mentioned, this guy, a little bit older, but he's mm-hmm. making it work, and he's getting booked in a bunch of places. He has a pretty cool gimmick going on right now. And like I mentioned, he just got off a Canada tour about a month, what was that, like 2 months ago maybe?
Give or take, yeah.
So yeah, anything's possible. Jesse, I know that you want to be in the women's division, so, I mean, you can, at any point you can have a sex change and kind of get that going.
Yeah, look.
So let's do this day in wrestling history, because I think actually that first segment ran about 40 minutes. So yeah. We are probably at almost our time slot.
Well, like, we don't really necessarily have like a length when it comes to format anymore.
We used to.
We used to, but now it's very much we have lives.
We have lives.
And
I need to go to a grill out. That's my thing.
You need to go to a grill out. I need to finish working.
So then you can go to the grill out.
That's the plan.
We can talk about fantasy football. And
exactly.
Because I know that you want Rex Burkhead, and I can trade him to you for the right price.
You know, more than likely, I'm probably not going to go grab him from you, because like, the way I'm looking at my Dynasty League and fucking, you know, Smizek's League. Fourth overall pick, I kind of got a feeling where I can get my guy where I need to get him there.
Who you want?
Man, if I tell... Okay, so...
Oh, like, we don't have anybody in our league that's probably listening
okay,
to this podcast.
Okay, probably because, like, no one really likes us that much. Yeah. Or even likes wrestling.
Leonard Fournette will go first, probably.
Fournette's probably going to go first. I would not be surprised if McCaffrey goes
right.
second. Someone is going to jump on someone else before Mixon falls to me at four.
You want Mixon?
I think he's
my guy.
He
went to the Bengals?
He went to the Bengals, even though I did draft fucking Jeremy Hill the first year we did it, and then I traded that motherfucker away.
That was bad.
Fuck that piece of shit.
Well,
but I think
that's
Mixon.
Three different running backs in one team, right?
Yeah,
they
exactly.
have Gio Bernard,
but
Jeremy
it's,
Hill.
It's looking like Bernard might be on his way out, because if they got Mixon, why do they need Bernard?
Yeah,
because
Mixon runs like a sub-4:40, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he's like
Mixon,
the fastest dude in the world.
Yeah, and Mixon really is the prototypical Le'Veon Bell back.
Right.
Like, he's got good hands, he'll work in that system, he's a good check-down guy. The only thing you got to watch out for is the offensive line there in Cincinnati. But I wonder if some of that is, like, you got to give respect to the run game then, instead of just, like, all out just because they don't have a run game.
Right.
So we'll find out.
Yeah.
So if he falls to me there, that might be kind of what I'm aiming for, because, like, that's where
I need a running back.
I need a running back for the next, like, 3 years.
Yeah. I need a running back, too. I mean, I have LeGarrette Blount.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Latavius Murray, who now plays behind the terrible Minnesota Vikings offensive line.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not going to be startable anymore.
No.
Plus, they drafted Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook might be a guy that goes three, or if he's still there at four.
That's a decision you have to make, because Latavius Murray has never been impressive. But then, I mean, the Minnesota Vikings line's terrible, but they've also made a lot of changes this past offseason.
Yeah, one of the big things, though, is like no matter what it is, it's very much I have to basically draft on need and also what's available. Because if, like, my guys are gone, then that might change my need.
I mean, if you get a really, really good, like, a good young receiver,
You
can then trade one of your current receivers for a running back. So,
exactly.
like, that's, like, a different option
different
to go
option
there.
As well.
You also had, I don't know if you still do, but you had a cornucopia of tight ends that you could have traded to me at one point, but you were asking for, like, the entire treasure chest, opposed to
I
just
was
a few
really,
gold doubloons.
I was not.
Yes, you were.
No, I was not.
You wanted, like, a first-round pick and also, like, two starters or something, and
no,
I was like,
no,
fuck off.
I wanted a starting running back out of the deal.
No, you didn't. You wanted you wanted, like, a high pick or something.
You were trying to, like, you were trying your best to unload a running back you weren't even using.
Who was that?
Was it Blount?
Yeah, maybe, actually. It might have been Blount.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And Blount, the only thing he would have gave me was just touchdowns, if that. And I don't think he would have been comparable score.
What if I traded you, like, my first-round pick and Blount for your first-round pick to move up? Or, like, Murray or one of my other backs?
No, because, like, Blount right now, like, he ended up leaving.
He plays for, like, the Jags or something, or the Jets or something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Oh, we should probably do this podcast.
Jags.
So,
he plays for the Jags.
This day
I already got a guy who plays for the Jags and Ivory. I don't.
Yeah, you don't. That's not going to work for you. This day in wrestling history, 30 years ago today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Cage Side Seats, by the way. They do this every single day. Really cool stuff that they do over there.
So, of course,
check
we're recording on May 26th, guys.
May 26th. 30 years ago today, the Rock and Roll Express awarded the NWA World Tag Team Championships. Rock and Roll Express. Hey, they were just inducted into the Hall of Fame, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. And speaking of another guy who was actually inducted into the Hall of Fame, a lot of that was because Rick Rude ended up leaving the territory at the time and going to the WWE. And that is why the Rock and Roll Express were actually awarded the titles.
That's crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm.
What else happened 30 years ago today, Jess?
All right. Iron Sheik and Hacksaw Jim Duggan were arrested in New Jersey for drug possession. And then when they pulled over on the New Jersey Turnpike.
Hold on a second. Can you imagine pulling over two guys like Iron Sheik and Hacksaw Jim Duggan? Like, if you were the police officer and, like, you didn't watch wrestling, like, I'm saying, like, if you just saw these two dudes, like, they were, to you, they were just two regular dudes. Could you imagine that? like seeing these dudes in the car, just being like, holy fuck, these are ginormous guys.
So, the worst part, though, was both guys were feuding at the time. They were pulled over on suspicion of driving under the influence. Duggan was charged with possession of marijuana and drinking alcohol while driving. Of course, Sheik was charged with possession of cocaine and marijuana. Duggan ultimately got a conditional discharge, while Sheik received a year's probation. Man, that basically that left the Sheik out of the WWE, but Duggan was still really kind of in the prime of his WWE years, but he never really kind of broke past the mid-card scene at that point in time.
21 years ago today, WWF at the time presented In Your House 8 Beware of the Dug from Florence Civic Center in Florence, South Carolina. Maybe not as interesting as the backstory of what happened that night. A severe thunderstorm actually, Jesse, knocked out the power to the WWF satellite trucks, prohibiting home viewers from seeing most of that card.
Yep.
The power was restored just before the main event, but those in the arena did get to see the full scheduled card with emergency lights being used. At this event, aside from just that debacle happening, Shawn Michaels also decided to get very fed up with a few hecklers in the crowd and did some things such as flipping off a sound technician after his music wasn't properly queued up.
Yep.
And also kind of just threw a little bit of a tantrum there. So, Shawn Michaels, as we know, way back when, kind of had a little
had some issues.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely, this was before he went and found his smile. But yeah, just kind of a fun little In Your House that had some fun little backstories to him as well.
Yeah, if you ever want to hear more about Beware of Dog, I believe Bruce Pritchard actually covered it in one of his podcasts not too long ago. It's actually a really good listen, especially with Pritchard telling Vince McMahon that, hey, we don't have any power. Well, Vince is doing play by play commentary. It's amazing. 20 years ago today on Raw is War from Evansville, Indiana, Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold Steve Austin defeated Owen Hart and the British Bulldog to win the WWF Tag Team Championships. Remember, this is basically Austin's coming off the whole thing with Bret Hart, Summer of 97. Michaels is coming back. You know, they're really pushing Austin to that point. It's a very much like unlikely tag team duel. I still remember when they won the belts, and it kind of led to something a little bit later down that summer that I think everyone remembers quite fondly, and that was the debut of Dude Love.
Yeah. 12 years ago today, seems like we're still battling with this every other year, TNA announcing that all planned Impact tapings were canceled until further notice. The company's one-year deal with Fox Sports Net was set to expire the next day and would not be renewed. The series ran online for several months before landing on Spike TV. It seems like every, 6 to 8 months, there's probably a new report about Impact possibly closing. So they've been doing it for quite a long time, and they're still running. So kudos to them.
9 years ago today, Vince McMahon announced on Raw that he would give away $1 million a week beginning the next episode.
By God.
The ratings desperate ploy known as McMahon's Million Dollar Mania actually began on June 9th. That episode would be the lowest rated Raw in about 2 months. The experiment is abandoned less than a month later.
That's hilarious.
Yep.
4 years ago today, WWE signed Emmanuel Alejandro Rodriguez, who we now know to be Kalisto. Kalisto then made his NXT debut in September of 2014 as one half of the Lucha Dragons. We don't see Kalisto too often anymore, but for a while there, I mean, he was kind of having a bout with Braun Strowman. So, kind of weird to think that he's been in WWE now for 4 years.
That is crazy. Also, 4 years ago today, we lost one of the wrestling greats, and that was Hector Garza. He died of lung cancer at the tender age of 43. You know, Nick, that's 10 years older than I am currently right now.
Yeah, so
I better stop smoking cigarettes.
You better stop smoking them cigs. And 2 years ago today, Ring of Honor announces that Samoa Joe, Joey Samoa, would make an appearance for the promotion at a TV taping in June. So Samoa Joe coming back to the Indies for a little bit, a while with things going down in TNA before obviously ultimately coming to, first off, WWE.
And, of course, 2 years ago today as well, Sami Zayn coming off that tremendous Raw debut against John Cena has to go underneath the knife for shoulder surgery. Kind of cut that good push for him right there. It's just one of those things where, man, like, kid went from top of the world to injuring his arm on a little celebration thing before he even got in the ring.
Yeah, he had like one of the best first, debut matches that you could have against John Cena, and all of a sudden it's like, and there goes your momentum. Bye. See ya. And then he came back and faced Nakamura, and then I was like, okay, this dude didn't miss a beat. So.
No, not at all.
So that does it for this day in wrestling history. Again, you can head to Cage Side Seats for your day in wrestling history, because most likely this episode will drop tomorrow, so that's going to be a different day.
Yeah. So what we want to do next week, Nick?
What do you mean?
I don't know, man. We got to be good next week for the podcast.
What?
Yeah, next week.
We have a podcast next week?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. We'll try to find a guest or something. I feel like it's been a while since I've been able to have a live guest.
Yeah. You know what? I'll see what I can do. I'll see if we can bring one of the guys from Freedom Pro Wrestling next week.
Oh, I wonder who that would be.
Ah, we can either get a hold of Julian or Riley and get those guys.
That'd be actually kind
of
fun.
Man, because they had a great show down in Nashville back in like beginning part of May. They got a lot of really good shows coming up here in July, and another one again in August that, I don't know, man, if you're ready for that one, we can make the road trip.
Where is it?
Nashville.
Nashville?
Yeah. August 19th.
It's the city of sound.
City of sound.
Is that what they say in Nashville?
I don't know. That's what they say.
Kevin Nashville?
Kevin Nashville, yes. Yeah.
Do you think he hears that a lot?
Yeah, he probably does.
Yeah, he probably does. Yep. Douche.
What?
So that does it for this week on Grapple Talk. Jesse, have any love advice for us?
Man.
We don't have Alex Riley anymore to do closing comments.
Oh,
so that's love advice to Jesse Von Rudin.
Man, just always make sure protection works.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Because you have the herp now, right?
I do not have the herp.
Yeah, he has the herp.
I have not the herp. What is that, your herp alarm going
off? My herp alarm is going off. I got to go to the dentist and get my pills for my herp.
You get your herp pills from your dentist?
Yeah, I have herp on my mouth, not on my other things.
You know, I can kind of see it right here.
I wonder if this is going to get cut out, because I'm not sure if this is PG enough.
Hey, do we need to be PG on a podcast?
I have no idea. That's a great question. Fair enough.
All right, cool.
All right, well, maybe I'll see you at the grill tonight.
Yeah. Otherwise, we'll catch you for next week's episode, which is going to be our
150th.
Yeah.
Is it?
You know what we should do for 150?
What?
NFL draft.
NFL draft?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
We'll do a fantasy draft.
We'll do a fantasy draft live on Grapple Talk.
Yeah.
Of wrestlers.
Or something.
Oh, yeah?
We're going to draft something.
Of live draft of NAW wrestlers. That'd be great. It's like we would fight about who doesn't have the number one pick.
Yeah.
That's mean. But,
yeah.
But it's true.
Conditional number one would be, who would go overall number one from?
Are we talking about back in the day?
Back in the day.
Probably Butchie Davis.
Looking back. You would pick Butchie Davis.
I'd probably be in his prime.
Yeah.
Dude was honestly over.
Yeah, he was great. Over like Rover. You know what? I might take.
Hell Yen.
No. I might take Zach Neo.
Zach Neo was the shits. In a good way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can use that in both senses.
Yeah, I know. It's weird about that phrase. The shits.
The shits. No, he was actually the shit. If you add the, you make it plural,
so
it's
if
bad.
You add a Z to it, it's terrible.
Yeah, or yeah. If you add the, if it's not just the shit.
He's the shit. He's not the shits.
It kind of, I don't know, it sounds good and bad both ways.
It's weird.
That's funny. Jargon, right? Am I right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we should probably end this podcast.
All right, cool. We're done.
So that does it this week for Grapple Talk. Grapple Talk, oh, we almost forgot. Facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk or @TheGrappleTalk on Twitter. Because I bet there's probably still people listening.
Yes.
Because everybody always listens to the end.
Because this is the best part of the podcast.
We should do, honestly, we should do something at the end of our podcast where we give, like, special shout-outs. Because then people will want to listen till the end. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, like... AC Riley was doing that for the longest time.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was. Remember?
Through closing comments?
Yeah, before that. He's like, oh, man, I want to give a shout-out to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Got any shout-outs? You want to give a shout-out to your nana?
My nanny's just called me. I'm going to have some dinner with her tomorrow. She's in town. Ooh. No, not a shout-out to nanners. She's not listening. I don't know. Did somebody just have a birthday? Somebody did.
Someone always has a birthday.
Shout-out to Roadhouse, because I know his birthday was a couple of days ago. So shout out to you, man.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
That's your shout out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he listens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Jason Jerry, actually. Big time former promoter up in Green Bay. He said anytime we're up in Green Bay, we should really get with him and talk about the Green Bay scene prior to 2008.
Like he wants to like podcast it?
Yeah.
I saw that he has a house full of toys.
Insane.
Like, a lot.
A lot of toys.
I mean, it's like it's to the point where it's like it's impressive, but it's also kind of creepy.
I don't think like having a toy collection is creepy.
I know, I'm joking, dude. My uncle is the same way, but he doesn't. None of them are unboxed. Like, they're all boxed.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
So you're saying it's less creepy if they're boxed.
Yeah, because it's like, who's playing with them if they're unboxed?
Well, I think half his toy collection was actually boxed. Did you actually see his Star Wars
collection?
I did.
That's actually really impressive. My uncle does
all original.
My uncle does that, but it's with Lord of the Rings. I've got a bunch of that stuff, Lord of the Rings style.
No way, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, all in his room and stuff, too. Same as Jason Jerry's. That is pretty impressive, though, because when you looked at his, like, you know, you looked at the set of, like, the villains and stuff, it was just like, holy shit, dude. Like, where do you get some of that
stuff? He had literally every Marvel and DC, like, 6.5-inch or plus that came out in the last, like, 15, 20 years.
Here's what I want to ask you.
Uh-huh.
I saw your Facebook post. I know we're over time here. Does it make me an idiot to say that I don't read all the comics you do, but in the comics that I do read, for some reason, ever since I was a little kid, I love Joker.
No, doesn't make it an idiot.
I just feel like that makes me like that guy that's like, yeah, you know, my favorite baseball team, Yankees.
It doesn't make you an idiot.
It doesn't?
No, it doesn't.
I've always liked Joker in the comic. I like the Batman comics with Joker, as those are the comics I read.
Yeah.
If DC, DC-wise, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Who's your favorite DC villain?
Darkseid.
Why?
Because the guy is all
in front. Fucking badass, dude.
He is the personification of evil, yet he's got a weird sense of honor. Because, instead of just going in and just taking over shit, his big thing is he's searching for this, like, anti-life equation. He wants to control free will through a fucking math equation.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, honestly,
that is fucking crazy.
Playing video games and shit growing up and reading comics here and there and watching, you know, cartoons and shit.
Yeah.
I always considered Darkseid, like, one of the biggest, baddest villains.
Yeah.
I always did. Like probably
power,
top five.
Power level, he's beyond, like, Superman and stuff like that.
Right.
He's got the,
like, he always seemed to me to be, like the biggest, competitor. I don't know what the right word is. Biggest rival to Superman. Like, he was, like, always the toughest dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's crazy. There was a Batman comic. It was, Final Crisis. He actually shot Batman. I'm going to have to burp for a second here.
You going to puke?
Okay. So, Batman found Darkseid basically in a very weakened state and was going to actually kill him. But Darkseid didn't kill Batman. He zapped him with the Omega Sanction, which basically sent Batman through time and space. And Batman had used his wits to get back to the present day. But while he was doing that, he was getting chased by this, like, anti-life demon. So Darkseid basically was like, hey, if you can escape this, that's great, but guess what? I'm sending this demon following you to basically tear apart space time the whole time. So, like, Batman didn't know that, but he was trying to get back to, like, the present day and eventually to the future. But as he was doing that, though, Darkseid was tearing apart the fabric of space and time. It's fucking
amazing. Wow, that sounds awesome.
Fucking amazing. And, like, it was one of those things where he didn't have to go out there and kill Batman to beat Batman. He was going to have Batman beat himself.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like he's fucking with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's always the best kind of villain story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, I don't know why I just like Joker. And then I was like, I want to comment on this, but everybody's bringing up kind of like, you know, there were some people that were bringing up deep cuts. And I'm like, it's like somebody's like, you go to, like, music, right?
Yep.
It's like, what's the greatest rock song of all time, man? Oh, you know, like, fucking, like, track number fucking 7 from the fucking, from Megadeth's 15th album. You know, it's like, if I go on there, I'm like, fucking, I don't know, dude, something by the Eagles or something. It's like, oh, you fucking Mark, whatever he says. And it's like,
yeah.
That's why I was like, you know, there were some deep cuts on there. I'm like, if I were to write Joker on here, I feel like I'd be like, yeah.
Man.
Is that the only villain you ever heard of? Heath Ledger, fuck? It's like, no.
Fuck that. But I think, like, some of the villain cuts, though, were, you know, they're always, like, the same villain cuts. Big shout-out to Chris Grubb for saying Vandal Savage.
Mm.
Basically, he's kind of like the,
See, I don't know who Vandal Savage is.
He's kind of, he would be the Cain to the Abel.
Mm.
So he's an immortal who actually committed the first murder in a DC continuity.
Wow, that's really
awesome
cool.
Awesome stuff. Also, a shout-out to Nathan Sensation for saying Brainiac.
Oh, yeah, I know
Brainiac
is
amazing. He's one of those guys where he just, oh, man, he is a synthesized life form that wants to control everything in a very computeristic manner, and it's pretty cool.
If you had to pick, again, I know we're running late, if you had to pick the worst villain of all time, like, maybe give me a couple.
Oh, jeez.
And I want to know why. Because we would know more than, like, you know, maybe I might know the worst ones.
Okay, so one of my least favorite is the Red Ghost from the Fantastic Four.
Why?
He was a mad scientist, a mad commie scientist who basically experimented on three apes. He was just really bad. Like, the monkeys are way cooler than the Red Ghost.
Really?
Like, it was,
I mean, it's a pretty shitty name, too.
Yeah. And it was the Red Ghost. Yeah, exactly, because it was the 60s, man.
Right.
Yeah. I think he's probably the worst.
Really?
That is, yeah. Mm. And that's saying something.
He sounds like a Scooby-Doo villain.
He kind of looks like a Scooby-Doo villain.
Does
let's
he really?
Like, let's see if we can pop up a picture.
I would have defeated humanity if it weren't for you meddling kids in Fantastic Four.
Yeah, he does look like a...
He looks like a Scooby-Doo guy, like he'd be the janitor on during the day shift, and then at night he puts on the Red Ghost costume and freaks everybody out.
Let's see. To
scare all the folks from building new business near the development area.
Yeah, look at him.
Wow, he looks that. I mean, if you would have just been like, show me this picture and been like, what do you think this guy's from? I'd be like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. So this was like what his updated look in the 70s was. Look how terrible that is.
Oh my gosh.
That is so bad.
It looks like he's going through identity crisis.
Yeah.
Or something. That's terrifying.
Let's see here if they're, cause like it's just a classic Kirby one's always the best look, you know, cause he's just kind of like a older jaunty guy.
I mean, he's just.
So here he is.
Grumpy old man.
Yeah. See, like his monkeys are his best part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the monkeys. Keep them. Get rid of Red Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
What's his real name? Like Herman?
No, it's probably like Ivan.
Oh,
so
yeah,
here,
that makes
here
sense.
He is on a stamp.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he was big enough to get on a stamp, I guess, man.
Well, but who uses a 61-cent stamp?
It's an expensive stamp, isn't it?
Yeah. Here is going through a wall.
Whoa.
Yeah. But, yeah, so like the Red Ghost is probably my least favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Nick? Who's your least favorite? I mean, he was one of the monkeys actually attacking the Human Torch. He's wearing purple underwear.
What's he putting on him? Is that a blanket or is it a?
Yeah, it's an asbestos blanket because that's actually
evil.
Flame retardant. But actually, at the same time, he's also giving him cancer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now that is the definition of evil.
That is evil. That is one evil monkey.
Who is a villain that I dislike? I don't know. I was trying to think of something funny and nothing came to mind.
Man, this gotta be one that you just really hate. Like Lady Deathstrike, do you like her? Or like I don't know. Abomination. You're not a fan of like Two-Face or the Riddler or
Mr.
Freeze.
I love those guys. I grew up with those guys.
What about Parasite? There's a was it Solar, the Tyrant Sun from Superman? He's pretty cool. I'll give you a week. You know, like next time
I'll get it next week.
Yeah, on episode 150, you can tell me your least favorite villain.
Mothra. Godzilla.
Mothra was not the villain.
Was Mothra the good thing?
Yeah, Godzilla was technically the villain in Godzilla vs.
Give me
Mothra.
That fucking bullshit.
Dude, no, seriously. Like,
but who was not rooting for Godzilla in that fight?
The citizens of Japan?
Yeah.
Yeah? They called on, like, Mothra to come.
Who the fuck wants a giant moth floating around their goddamn city?
A lot of people, apparently.
You know who, you know.
Would you want a giant lizard running through your city?
More than a fucking giant moth. They eat clothes. There goes all your fucking linens. See ya. Thanks, Mothra, for stopping by. I'd rather be dead than have no clothes. I'm about to walk out of fucking Van Heusen with a brand new dress shirt. Now it's gone.
Yeah.
I'd rather be dead. There goes that money down the drain. Now I'm broke.
Oh, come on, man.
Now I'm broke and naked. What am I going to do about it?
Okay, so you just hate Mothra.
I don't like giant moths. It doesn't make sense to me. You wanted an answer, I gave you one.
Okay, so Killer Moth, then.
No, he's all right.
All right, cool. Well, that's Grapple Talk for this week, folks. We'll be back next week for episode 150. We'll have to come up with something special for everyone since it's episode 150 and
Maybe we'll give out tacos or something.
Maybe prizes or something.
Maybe we'll do a live podcast.
From where?
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
And neither do I.
People
I don't want
do
to do
though.
Facebook Live because I guess that's fringing on other people's gimmicks.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
All right, so let's head out. We got a grill to go to. Hey, if you got a favorite villain,
yeah,
go to Jesse Von Ruden's Facebook.
Yeah, Marvel or DC, you know.
Or just comment on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Least favorite villain? do that too. Well, now we're just dragging things out.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta go.
Yeah. All right.
See you later.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
GrappleTalk.com/the Facebook. That didn't make sense.
They know where to find us on Facebook.
I think you just had a stroke.
With Nick Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
I would say the traditional one.
something like that. I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
Beatboxing by A.C. Riley, not available in stores for good reason.
Man, we just got some stuff for the blooper reel, that's all I'm saying.
Our entire podcast is the blooper reel.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.